meditation, rather.
I hope that
all of you will use great concentration and effort in following his instructions. Thank you.
Yesterday you had given meditation. Most of you had some experience. Meditation means just to withdraw your attention from all outside and from the body below, to come up to the seat of the soul, which is at the back of the eyes. Then you practically know yourself, who you are, what you are. You are not the body. You are not the outgoing faculties. It is you who give strength to them to work. The outer expression of soul is attention. So when attention is withdrawn from all outside, and you come up to the seat of the soul at the back of the eyes, you will find, you feel a separate body. And there, the inner eye and third eye, or single eye, is opened, with which you can see the light of God, which is already within you. At present, we do not see. Why? Because we are at attention. And attention is identified with the world outside and body below. The one has to see is wandering outside. So unless we draw our attention from all outside and the body below, we cannot know ourselves. Unless we know ourselves, we cannot know the old self who is controlling us in the body. So body works so long as we are in the body. But we are in the body as long as that power controls us in the body. Then when that power is withdrawn, we have to leave the body. You know that you are attention, all attention. You are the enlivening the whole faculty of the man body. This is practically knowing oneself. Unless you rise above body consciousness, you do not know who you are. So meditation is only that, to withdraw your attention from all outside and from the body below. Come to your own self, centralize within your own self. Then you know you are not the body. And when you come up there naturally, your inner eye is opened to see the God into expression power, which has got two aspects, one light, the other sound. God is light. When God wanted the world come into existence, he ordered, and there was light, and that light within each one of us. Take it that the light within, which is within you, is not darkness. So this is what we meant by meditation. For that you please sit down as I just tell you, as I told you yesterday also, first thing required is to have your physical body still. Sit in any pose most convenient to you. in which you can sit longer. But mind that there should be no tension in the body, in any part of the body. Your head should also be relaxed, quite opposite to the yoga posture. This is first thing. When you adopt any pose, don't change, please. Be physically still. If you have to mark a target, that is, your rifle should be not shaking. That's the first thing required. Close your eyes. Go on doing it. Close your eyes. Forget the world outside, far away. Withdraw your attention from all outside. And also pay no attention to what is going on in the body below. Don't move, please. Be still. You bind bandages on your eyes and not, what difference does it make? When you close your eyes, you withdraw your attention from outside, that is the doctor. Anyhow, be still, close your eyes, forget the world outside for a while, sit in one posture, please. Don't think of the environments in which you are sitting. Also, pay no attention to what is going on in the body itself. Breathing is going on now, let it go on. Don't pay any attention to it. When you close your eyes, these eyes are flesh and bones are closed, do not work. Still there is something else, which is the darkness in front of you. That's the inner eye, a single eye. So with the inner eye, don't look to the whole and vast expanse of darkness in front of you. But just look into the middle of the darkness lying in front of you, opposite to your eyebrows. Look into it minutely, penetratingly, to find out what is in there. You are not to visualize anything, nor to premeditate anything. Repeat the names. Mentally. One by one. At intervals. Not in quick succession. So that the energy is not disturbed. That will give only a boost. If you continue like that for some time, say 10 to 15 minutes, your attention will be drawn from all outside and from the body below, riveted into the middle of what you see in front of you, opposite to your eyebrows. You'll find the darkness will be lessened and light will come up. When you see any light, don't look to the whole of it, but just look into the middle of that. Intently, minutely, penetrate to find what is there. You are not to visualize anything, mind that. If you continue to do like that, the darkness will be thinned. You see light in front of you. When you see light, don't again look to the whole of it, but just look in the middle thereof. That will grow bright and burst to give you further way up. That you may find sky. If you find sky, just look minutely into it, you find stars. So if you find stars, then locate the big star out of that, about which all masters celebrate. If you find, locate the big star, then put in whole attention into the middle thereof. That will open, you will cross it. Moon may come up. You find moon, again look into the middle of that. Intently, mindedly find it, to find out what is in there. That will grow bright and burst into pieces, you will cross it. Further, God will appear in some form in which He is manifest. You are not to visualize or premeditate anything, just look mindfully into light now before you. If any form comes up, look mindfully into it, allow your whole attention into Him so much so that you forget yourself. Repeating the names has already turned you mentally, one by one. You develop receptivity, He will talk to you as one does outside. Here the sound principle is also. This power never leaves you till the end of the world. Continue looking until you are surrendered. Those who have seen ordinary sunlight or ordinary moonlight, they should, for future guidance, look continuously into the middle thereof, they will grow bright and burst. Those who have seen the bright light, they should look further into it, that will grow bright for the master form to come up. Those who have seen golden light, in that always master form comes up. Those who have seen stars, the sky, they should be after stars. Those who have seen stars, they should be after big stars. Those who have seen big stars, they should find out how to open and cross it. And those who have seen the moon, they should look at it, that must, you will cross it. That three of you have crossed. So those who have seen flashes of light, look at me, I am looking at you. My hand passes. My hand may pass, but you should not pass. You continue looking constantly without break. That will stay then. When that stays, then look into the middle of it. If still there are any men, though they have not seen any flash of light, all pitch dark, they please have a sitting during the day. I can explain again to them that you sit any pose most convenient to you, in which you can sit longer without tension in the body. Close your eyes, forget the world outside and environments too. Pay no attention to what is going on in the body below. Just fix your whole gaze into the middle of the darkness lying in front of you, opposite to your eyebrows. Look intently, mindfully, penetrate to find out what is in there. Repeat the names mentally, one by one at intervals, so that you will get noticed. You please put in that time, then you find light. You may report to me. Is there anyone? They may stand up. How many? None. All right. If one or two are there, please sit down today and report to me in the evening. Now you see that in the terminology of the saints, we are blind. Blind is not the man who has got no eyes on the forehead, but he is blind, or Nanak, whose inner eyes is not open. So Master come to make people see, those who do not see, and those who see, they may be blind from outside. So why this, how this blindness comes up, that's the point. You take some poison, how it affects. You you do not recognize anybody that comes to you. And you do not understand when anybody tells you. So we are drenched in the poison of the outgoing faculties. Naturally, we do not recognize. Our brain does not work. So, what to do? Man, with eye comes up, you do not recognize me because your inner eyes are closed. So then what to be done? By God's grace, you find anyone coming to you and give you some little experience to further start your way, then please do as he wishes to do. And also, if he comes up, he goes out of compassion, you see, take you under his care, unpaid, no membership, no payment, all free, because all gifts of nature are free. This gift is also God's gift, must be given for you. So what thing remains there, you should just obey what he says, keep his commandments. So first thing is that, keep his commandments 100%. Don't amend them according to your own vision player. In that case, the progress will be not much. Sometimes you will make progress, sometimes again you are blank. So be regular, you see, what you want to keep diary. Weed out all imperfections. When you weed out, you naturally, you will know less burden. That burden will be lessened. And you put in regular time for meditation, for seeing and hearing, then naturally you will progress day to day more. So this is what is to be done. What you should do. To be initiated is also a very great blessing. But those who do not follow him exactly, then this is that stands in their way of progress. We should do 100% what he says. Keep your life pure. Weed out all your imperfections. Give regular time to your meditations. Be honest. Be true to yourself. If your life is not pure, even then you put in time, you won't have much progress. If you put in time and your life is not pure, naturally you won't have progress. Both things go hand in hand. Hitherto, you see, Master used to give some, those who went to him, not all at once. First, it took time to make their vessels clean, make them pure, ethically. Only then they wanted to put in something, give them to start with. Now the times have changed, you know. Who can sit with the master for long? So something is given to the man at the time of initiation, and further things remain. Only you are sincerely devoted to the master, the more progress you make. If you are alive to the master within you, when you're seeing anything, somebody is watching you every time, can you do anything wrong? No. So deeds of darkness are always committed in the dark. Or anything which requires any secrecy, separation, mind that there's something wrong there. Be very careful to God when master, when initiates, he resides in the master, in the initiate. He watches every his way of thinking, where the mind, trend of mind is going. So for that, what is the thing that will keep you vigilant watch? Vacant mind is the home of devil. Don't keep your mind vacant. Keep it occupied. With what? When you're at work, be fully at work. When you have no work, then keep it occupied, sitting, going around, in the sweet remembrance of God. Nothing is lost in nature, whatever words are given by the Master, that child. So continuous sweet remembrance of the Master or God in him will give you boost. As you think, so you become. Master says that when I thought of you all today, I become you and I are one now. As you think, so you become. So what Master used to always say whenever anybody went to him with a complaint, his mind disturbed him, such and such thing, he always said, well, your sweet memories of God is not regular, not fully what you want to do. So don't let your mind remain vacant, that's the part. Keep it occupied with what you are. If it is remain vacant, then naturally that's the home of devil. People ask what to do. This is the only thing. Have sweet memories of God, constant remembrance, with no break. A Guru Mukh is told to start his sweet memories of God and not to restart. He will lay you out, then he will restart. He said, he should go on. Even when going to sleep, he should sit in sweet memories of God. The result will be the whole circulation, blood will be going on the sweet memories of God. When you next morning you raise up, you see point and fresh. So this is the main thing which I think make you sure success, give you sure success. Don't let your mind remain vacant. So what is the result? Those who think of God constantly, they become Him. And He, I and my Father are one. It is I, not now I, but Christ lives in me. That's the keynote of success. Constant remembrance, sweet remembrance. When you remember anybody, you see what it happens. Heart speaks to heart. Other man is dragged. So, what you say, your attention or thought, the biggest thing, keep it occupied. When I was in school, I read one boy. He used to always repeat, his name was Wellington, Lord Mayor of London. So it so came to pass, he became the Lord Mayor of London. Thought is very important, you see. Keep, this is the secret of success, key of success. Remain your mind sweet remembrance of God. When it is required to work, do it. When mental work is required, do it. Put in authority. When you train even your mental work, go on in your life, the sweet remembrance of God. Just you, in the morning, wind the watch. That goes on for 24 hours, 36 hours for a week. Similarly, daily winding up the watch of your mind, even in work you won't forget him. This is main secret of success. When your time for meditation comes, put in whole attention to your meditation. When you are at work, be fully in work. Work is worship. If you bring up your children, thinking the God in them, you bring them up, this also worship. So this is, those about that way of life, radiation comes here. They radiate love, they radiate the very infection they give to the others who come around him. So each man has got his personara. Those who are higher life, they've got more radiation. And you'll find the criterion of a saint is what? When you sit quite attentive to him, your mind does not run away for the time being. His attention centralized. And draw your attention, not to run away. When your attention is involved in something, mind cannot work. Very simple things to be followed. And you see one day you become a wrestler. The more accurately you do your meditations, the more accurately you pass your day in constant remembrance of God, I think you'll have the success in months. Ramakrishna Paramahansa said, if a man has sweet remembrance for continuously long, for 3 days and nights, he will never come to the world. We cannot even remember for regularly 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours late, for 3 days and 3 nights. Well, there's a work we have to do for our own selves, you see. If you earn money for something, you may be made sitting for 2 days, 3 days, weeks. You will do it. But strange enough, we cannot do for our own self, the very, very self. So please make the best use of the time at your disposal, in the man body. That's the highest in all. That's a golden opportunity. You can make the best use of it. By this way, this keynote has been given to you. That God doesn't look to the outer forms or rituals or outer labels you are carrying. He says, what is after? If you want God, God must meet you. No reason why he should not. He is also waiting for each one of us. If a child is sitting, wants to look to her mother or father, a little wants to move, then his father, mother at once goes and brings him into his lap. If you take one step that way, naturally, surely, he will come up hundreds of steps to receive you. But if the child is playing and mother, all right, let him go on playing. When he cries, mother comes up and gives him some sweet to, first he's playing with the dolls, he throws away, then he gives him some sweet, then he keeps quiet. Again mother goes away. Again he cries. And master gives everything to the child, but he does not accept and he takes it and has to be blessed. So this is what is, when God sees this child cannot remain without me, he will come sure and certain to go. If he has not met us so far, it is our fault. Because we have no inkling, no desire, no heart within us. Our whole attention is just identified with the world outside. We have no time to remember him. we say, we have no time. How can you put into ours? We cannot even put half an hour. Those things you consider as most important, they won't go along with you, mind that. The body, which is the first companion with you to come into the world, if that does not go along with you, how can dream other things which are connected to mind body will come along? Consider for a while calmly. No problem is there, very direct talk it is. Our master used to say, who does regular practices, by then he has pity on his own self. He takes pity on his own self. Mind that this is your own personal work, this is meditation. It does not mean 24 hours you'll be sitting in meditation doing no work, no. honest work. It requires stand on your own legs. Suppose them were dependent on you, by God gave you, and also share with others. But the only thing required is keep your attention occupied. In sweet remembrance of God when it is vacant. When you're trained, even when you're doing your brain work, even then that sweet remembrance will go on.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. This morning our reader is David Halliburton. Are you there, David?
Yes, I am, John.
Okay, carry on.
I'm going to be reading from the Master's talk entitled A Matter of Life, I'm sorry, A Matter of Death and Life. This was a talk given on April 12, 1970 at the special satsang marking completion of the funeral rites of Mata Krishnavanti, the Master's wife. And this talk was published in the October 1976 issue of Satsandesh. When great masters come into this world, they praise the human birth, but ask, what are the values of life? Which things are more important and which are secondary? For example, the oyster shell and the pearl have their own values. And if there were no pearl, the shell would be of little value. Similarly, the importance and value of the human being depends upon the soul, which drives the human form. When the driver gets out of the physical body, it is then nothing but clay. And though the machinery is quite intact, it lies useless and lifeless because the driving force is no longer there. This is the mystery of life, which has to be unraveled. We must come to know the life impulse, which is already in the human form and which leaves at the time of death. Those who have solved this mystery have opened up the subject in detail and have described it in words. However, the people who came in contact with them got a practical demonstration of the truth. To talk about a thing is all right, and to have feelings or draw inference is something else, but to experience a practical demonstration is entirely different from either. It is understandable that they say, "Oh, listen to the true saints. They speak of what they have seen." It is a warning not to listen to mere intellectuals, but only to the words of the saints. They speak the truth, for they talk of what they have seen with their own eyes. One who has seen gives accurate evidence. Whatever masters have said up to now is really in answer to the lamenting of the human being, the crown of creation, for next to God, the human being is the highest. In all holy scriptures, you will find the question arising, how can man get experience of the driving force? There is a reference in the Bible, and the answers too. You will see it mentioned in the Guru Granth Sahib. Through the holy records, one can have a true understanding, but to remain on the intellectual level brings nothing but confusion. For one person will say this, and another will say that. Just now, the Sunniya was read from the Japji Sahib. Prayers are normally read beside the bed of a dying person, but is the meaning ever understood? There are four stanzas of the Sunniya in which it is very clearly written, "Listen to the Nam." This does not mean to listen with physical ears. What does Nam mean? It has been explained by spiritual masters. God is nameless. It is the God into expression power which is the cause of all creation and controls all the creation. In the Guru Granth Sahib is given, Nanak says that the Nam is the controlling power with which, through great good fortune, one gets a contact. Everything is under the control of Nam, which is the controlling power. Through this same controlling power, our soul is controlled in the body. There are millions of stars and planets existing in such serene rhythm and order and do not clash with each other. They are all controlled by the Nam. When God wished, from one, I should become many, there was vibration, and this vibration had two aspects, light and sound. Both mean the same thing, and both resulted from vibration. You can call it the sound principle, or nad, or music of the spheres. So by listening to the sound, we get tied to God, tied to the source of the sound. In the Guru Granth Sahib, on the subject of this sound, it is written, "The proud lord of death cannot be killed, but he cannot come near to the Guru's Shabd." Shabd and Nam mean the same thing. Through the Shabd, the cycle of creation, dissolution, and again creation came into being. It means that through the force of the Shabd, creation began, ended, and began again through cycle after cycle. One gets contact with the Shabd through the Guru. And the Lord of Death, when hearing the vibration of the holy sound within the disciple, is unable to come near. It is said that death has no effect on those who listen to the music of the spheres. For the soul is a conscious entity, the same substance as God. And when the soul gets connected to the oversoul, the negative power subjectively can have no effect. The soul is unaffected by the physical body or the body's relationships. So if you wish to understand any religious book, do so by reading and rereading it. If you want to know what the word is, consult the Holy Bible itself. In that it is written, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." This means that the word, which is given to true seekers, is the light to guide their feet on the path to truth. On my tour in the West, I advise people to look to their scriptures to find the answers to their problems. However, most of these answers are only thoroughly understood by those who know the spiritual science. For others, it is something like a covered treasure being handed down from posterity to posterity. To know the outer religious teachings is the first step, for they have been given by some master and will awaken some interest in God within the seeker. But without an actual experience of what is written, we have done nothing toward achieving the same. This experience can only be had in the human life. And for a demonstration, we must go to that person who has achieved it. By continuing this science and keeping his company, everything will become clarified. Throughout the human life, we see the daily advent of birth and death. Some people die young, some in youth, and some in old age. At death, some writhe in agony and torment, and others leave in joy and peace. So what is it all about? They say that at the event of any birth, the world rejoices and the newcomer cries. But brothers, you should live such a life that at departure you yourself rejoice and the whole world cries. This would mean that you had won the gamble of life. So having received the human birth, you should now get the contact with Nam, the God into expression power, for that will lead you back to your true home. In the human existence, there are two phases. One is the karmic evolution. Whatever the parabdha karmas are should be accepted with cheerfulness and one should be careful not to sow any more seeds. Then there is the way back to one's true home, the way of the sound and the light. The basic teaching is the same in all religions, and all masters have given reference to the same facts. But because people do not come in contact with a practical master of the spiritual science, the knowledge of the truth does not go to the very core of one's being. The masters did not bring any new thing, for truth is one. But they have tried to explain it in different ways according to the understanding of the people at the time. But without inner contact, a complete understanding will not be achieved. So the masters enjoin the criterion: as long as I do not see with my own eyes, I cannot believe even the guru's words. Now, if one could consult the masters about the state of the world, their advice would be one and the same: rise above all isms and become a true man. They regard all mankind as man, within whom lies the truth, though not consciously connected. Soul and truth, or God, are in the same company and live in the same house, but never talk to each other. Like two brothers, the soul and the oversoul live in the same house, but tragically they never talk to each other. The reason is that the one who should start the conversation is restlessly tossing about. If he would withdraw and get to know himself, he would also see that God is residing with him. This body is the temple of God, in which the true light is shining. He whom you want to know is inside, and you are searching for him from door to door. What is the criterion of a true master? O brother, he who is termed a Satguru or Sant will reveal it through the inner eye. He who calls himself a Satguru should develop that eye in the seeker, which is above the senses. This is the ABC, or beginning, of the spiritual science. To know oneself, one has to analyze oneself by rising above the senses and lower centers, perhaps through pranayama or kumbhak. But one must know oneself. Where the world philosophies end, there the true religion starts. In the past, yogis spent hundreds of years to separate the consciousness from inert matter by reading books on the subject. But what is the natural course? There is hatha yoga to make the physical body strong, and there is prana yoga to increase the length of life. To know God by making a hypothesis comes under bhakti yoga, and in jnana yoga, inferences are drawn. But only an intellectual giant can do the latter system. Now, what can the average human being do, be he a child, aged, or young? To fill the need, the saints brought out the Surat Shabd Yoga, not merely introducing it, but giving a practical demonstration as well. The masters say that the yogis come to the Ajna Chakra after progressing through the six centers, and then through Anhad Shabd they became one with Sahasrar. After rising above the six centers, then one gets the Anhad Shabd, which might take many, many years. Now, the Sant Satgurus give some contact with this on the very first day of initiation. What a great concession is this! Under the benevolence and mercy of Kabir Sahib and Guru Nanak, this simple science was started to meet the need of the age, for hereditarily we are not fit for lengthy processes. The master gives some practical experience on the very first day and encourages continued development. His help is available throughout the journey, not only in life, but at the time of death and after death. The soul is constantly guided. Go to search for such a master. In praise of the master, it is written in the Guru Bani, O Nanak, leave the company of the imperfect and search out a perfect master. The imperfect will forsake you in life, but the master will never leave you, even after death. What is the meaning of this? The true saints are rare, but when found, their company is invaluable, for the fortunate disciple is with his master outwardly, and on closing his eyes, finds his master within also. Such faithful companionship will bring true contentment. One Muslim saint has said, O brave man, grasp the protection of he who is the knower of this world and the hereafter. The true guru is he in whom God has manifested himself, a human positive pole, or the Word made flesh. For one who wishes to unravel the mystery of life, the company of such a saint is essential. They give cash in hand. Those who want to live on loan have my best wishes, but a bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. He who is awakened while living will remain awakened after death. Listen, O madman, why do you forget what you know? You are clinging to illusory matter, which will wash away like the Kusumba color. Just see how man is being addressed. He is called madman. This is because his intellect has been twisted and his consciousness is not in control. So he sees the right in the wrong light and the wrong in the right. What is right understanding? We should first remember that the physical form remains here in this world for only a few days. Dust thou art, and unto dust returneth. Whatever labels have been put on the body will also go with it. The body's true glory depends purely upon the soul. Everyone has to leave it at some time. Prince or pauper, rich or poor, even the yogi, none remained here. Without exception, all left in their turn. Whosoever came had to leave eventually, even the avatars and spiritual masters. So we should pack up and be ready to go. The night has passed, and with the dawn, the traveler leaves his place of rest. For how long can we stay in this world? That for which we have such pride, that is, the body, will turn to dust one day. That which we see, hear, or feel in this world, what can one call it? All is changing. The physical form is changing, and so is the whole world's situation, like a panorama of life. Nobody is at rest. We have fallen into a great forgetfulness, have become the body's form itself, and although we are the operators, we know not the controller of the machinery. The tiny atoms in the body are constantly changing, and the world is changing at the same rate. So when two things change at the same speed, and we are identified with them, it appears that everything is stationary. This can be called illusion or forgetfulness. And where did it all start? This body is the root cause of all illusion. We are the indweller of the physical form, and mistaking our identity for the body itself, we see everything from its level. Do we feel this mutation of the world and its species? Does anyone ever consider that death will come? Most assuredly it will. But why are we not more aware of the fact? Because the soul is permanent, imperishable, and never dies. It is all wisdom, ever existent, and eternal bliss. Daily, we see death around us, sometimes cremate the bodies with our own hands, but it rarely occurs to us that we also have to die. Why? Because the reflection of the soul is with us. Even a fool will declare that he is all wise. He cannot imagine that he has less intelligence than others. Though living in illusion, man yet instinctively feels he is all wise and will never die. And this confusion can only be surmounted by rising above the consciousness to see the true condition of life. Through the reactions under the prarabdha karmas, happiness and unhappiness follow each other. Unhappiness and happiness are like two modes of apparel worn by man. These words are very clear, for due to the changing panorama of life, action and reaction continue perpetually. Even now, in the very present, some reaction is being formed. If we have to leave the body someday, why not learn to do so while living? The science of leaving the body at will has been made very easy by the great masters, when in the past it was so difficult that yogis spent hundreds of years trying to achieve it. Why did the master address mankind as, O madman? Because only the masters can express true love and compassion for man who is caught up in the whirl of the senses, for they themselves have stepped out of the illusion and see all things in crystal clearness. God himself feels for his children, the lost sheep, and the guru, who is God in man, has the same compassion. God is love, and the soul is of the same essence as God. It is also love. By its own nature, it must attach itself to something, so it is very necessary for a devotee to have a beloved. The soul was actually meant to be the lover of God, but became the lover of the world instead. Loving the world brings no permanent happiness, for due to the constant change, the soul is happy only when attached, and when not attached, it becomes unhappy. Those who wish to realize permanent happiness should get a beloved who never changes and never dies. That is why it is said, he who desires permanent happiness should surrender himself to God. The rest of life is just give and take. Wife, husband, son, daughter. All other worldly relationships are just karmic give and take. Give freely and cheerfully. Stop planting new seeds and take the road to your true home. The world's scene is insipid. Leave it, my friend, and drink the nectar of Nam. We believe there is satisfaction in outer things, but it is not so. True intoxication lies within us, for we are all bliss. Satisfaction remains only while the attention is focused upon a certain thing, otherwise it fades. For example, a man may be engrossed in a theater play, quite happy in the enjoyment. Suddenly, he is informed that his house is on fire, and he immediately withdraws his attention from the play and rushes out, filled with fear and anguish. The rest of the people are still sitting quietly engrossed in the show. There is no difference in the scene. But for one individual, the play has no more reality. This goes to prove that enjoyment is derived through focusing the attention on something. You have embraced imperfection close to your bosom at the cost of rejecting the true Creator. How can you form a friendship with anything when all is impermanent in this world? The illusion of trying to make a permanent home here, when deep down we know we have to leave, is the cause of all our misery. Remember this, there is no point in starting to dig a well when you have reached the stage of dying of thirst. However, if the angle of vision is changed in good time and there is some awakening, then the pinching effects of life in the world will be reduced. The world is full of thorns, so put on some heavy boots. Even the tough shells of the walnut and almond were so tender once that one could pass a needle through, but when they ripened into full strength, then? Those who have risen above body consciousness and know themselves do not live by inference or feelings. They know that they are the driving force themselves and go through life's ups and downs quite contentedly. If anyone near to them takes their leave in death, they wish them farewell, happy in God's will. Do we ever truly have this attitude of serenity? Let us not deceive ourselves. You have forgotten yourself in the falseness of the world when you should be drenched in the permanent color of the Nam. You have given yourself to this world, which is not worth a seashell. Only God's color is permanent, but we are dyed in the color of the world. When the true intoxication comes, it will never wear off. How many people are truly intoxicated? There was once a very proud king who loved to reflect on how powerful he was and how many subjects he had, etc. One day, his guru said to him, "You should realize that you have no value. If you like, I will prove it to you." The king was amazed and replied, "What are you saying, master? If I lift my little finger, the whole country shivers, and you say I have no value." The guru said, "All right, do what I say. I will show you your true value." He made the king lie inert on the floor and then took his legs around his shoulders, one on each side, and he took him into the town, shouting, "The king is dead. Who wants to buy him? How much will you offer for him?" When the people heard this, they ran away, thinking he had murdered the king. He continued shouting, "I am selling the body for 1 rupee, 50 cents, 1 cent, and came down to half a seashell. But the people fled from him. The guru brought the king back to the palace and asked him, "Now do you understand what your value is? No one would pay even a seashell for your body. So you must realize that as the value of a shell lies in the pearl within, so the body's value depends upon the soul. Outwardly, we go on dressing the body and making it look attractive, but it has little value. This body is only beautiful as long as the soul and God reside therein. The Lord of the soul is God, and he who gets that God intoxication will radiate with beauty and happiness. In a worldly way, if a wife dresses in silken robes, but her husband is not there, what kind of situation is that? The masters say that this type of finery would be consumed in flames. There is a Punjabi saying which states, if I have to spend years in the desert, but my beloved is with me, I am happy in that. Just as a woman shines if her husband is with her, so the soul's husband is God, and it becomes radiant when it is connected with the Lord. Awake to your value, for the minute you leave, no one cares to keep the body in the house for even half an hour. They say, quickly take it and prepare it. The saints are excellent observers. They see what state the world is in. And I'm going to jump ahead to the ending where Master says, with the grace of God and my master, I bade farewell to my two young sons, my mother and father early in my life, my two elder brothers, and my earthly companion, joyfully, in all gratefulness, without a speck of grief or sorrow. And I wish you all to live up to the words of the Master, so that you may meet such like events smilingly. Thank you, Master, for this opportunity to sit together in your name. Amen.
David, for the wonderful reading. Excuse me a minute, I'll do a count. So today there were 73 people at the satsang. Thank you, everybody, for attending. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us. Now please hang up your phone.